listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where God is true, man is sinful, and the church, well, it needs fixed.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. Please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Every week, millions of adults suffer from the same terrible condition, Bible ignorance. Experts say most adults can't name the first book of the Bible. Do you think Joan of Arc was Noah's wife, Paul was one of the 12 apostles, or that the red letters are the most important? If you have any of these symptoms, act now. Get help by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com. You're not alone. Bible ignorance can be cured. Help stop the ignorance by listening to GraceAmbassadorsRadio.com.
So today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we are answering your questions about the Bible. More specifically today, we have several questions about churches, so we'll get to those in just a minute. But before we get started with those questions, we have some comments that have been sent to us, and so I thought I'd share a couple of those today. First one says, I have been listening to your messages for 6 months now. It is good to know the truth, and more importantly, the truth rightly divided. I can't thank you enough and look forward to each day watching your videos and reading your publications. I've been sharing with my family and friends, but have more often than not been met with resistance, but I will keep at it.
Amen. Yeah, that's a long time, 6 months to be listening to our stuff. Of course, all those videos and writings are on our website, graceambassadors.com. And it's a very common thing when you're trying to explain to people something new and something that you're learning from the Bible, rightly divided, that they think it's strange and they'll think that it's something they've never heard before, so it must be wrong. Be patient. Paul says to be patient, be gentle, be apt to teach. And of course, keep your authority on the scripture. It's not about what any man teaches. It's not about what a church says to believe. It's what the Bible says. So stick with that and you'll see some fruit.
Our next comment here actually ends with a question, so this may be a good way to springboard into our questions for today. The comment is, our journey into being dispensational has led to my husband and I in our living room listening to you on Sundays. A little lonely, to say the least. I think if we had leprosy, we would be more accepted. We've been saved since 1979, but only in the last few years have begun to understand the Bible rightly divided. Do you have any suggestions?
Any suggestions? Get some more people saved, apparently. It's interesting. The commenter says that they've left their church after so long, and they're meeting in their house now. And so many people are doing that nowadays, and not only because they're tired of church. You'll read about these polls and surveys, and they say, well, people are going to church less, or church's attendance is decreasing. Well, sometimes people leave churches because they disagree with what they're teaching, with the doctrine. And that's a pretty good reason not to go to church, is if they're teaching wrong doctrine. And with so much dilapidation, can I use that word? It's a big $10 word. But with so much doctrinal ignorance in churches today, it's not a wrong thing to say, well, I don't agree with that. Have a conversation with your pastor, and sometimes you end up at the house. But that's why we have our videos and our messages online for you. So you can do that, or better yet, do your own Bible study and start teaching your family. Start teaching your friends. Invite them over. And that will be the first Grace Church in your area teaching mid-acts Pauline dispensationalism. So that's my suggestion.
That was a good lead into our questions for today. We have several that talk about churches specifically. So let's get started. The first one, why are there so many churches?
Great question. Why are there so many churches? We on this radio program, Grace Ambassadors Radio, are unashamed about our identity in Christianity. I know a lot of Christian groups would kind of hide that and just call themselves Christian and call themselves the church. And I would love to be able to do that. I just want to be called a Christian or a saint, as the Bible calls me, and that would go to a church. But that's not very descriptive to many people. When you say, well, I go to church, I'm a Christian. Well, who doesn't? In America, at least, 80, 90% of people say they're Christians, and half of people go to church in America. So one point or the other. So what makes the difference? I mean, why are there so many churches? Why the differences? If we're all just Christians and all churches are the same, then why don't we get together? And if that were true, it'd be a great idea. But the truth is, all churches are not the same. And not everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. And so it really takes some discernment to know which church is right, you know, what churches teach, and, you know, how to know if someone is a Christian. And how do we know that? Well, from the Bible, Rightly Divided. So one reason I think why there's so many churches is because they disagree on the Bible. You know, so it used to be that church denominations, Lutheran, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever, were separated because of doctrinal differences. Nowadays, people, again, are biblically ignorant, so they don't appreciate the doctrinal differences. And so we have non-denominational churches and just evangelical churches and just general Christian community places where it's more about the community and less about God's truth. And so we see this growth towards bigger churches and less distinctions. But really, that's not an improvement. That's a step backwards, because they're stepping away from the Bible in order to get so many people to come under one giant umbrella. So there are a lot of different churches because they believe different things. And I'd encourage you to study out what those differences are. What we teach here is Mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division. And you say, what in the world is that? Well, that big long description is simply to identify what we believe as different than someone else, so that you know clearly right out front what we teach. We believe every word of the Bible. We believe in dispensational right division of the scripture, and we're Pauline in our gospel presentation. And so this distinguishes us from other people. And I truly believe that if churches would learn how to rightly divide the scripture, we would have a lot more in common. It would resolve a lot of the confusions amongst the churches, the controversies among the churches that divide so many. So I think we talked about that a few weeks ago on the radio program, the baptisms and the Lord's Supper and all those doctrines that were controversial and divide people. Right division solves a lot of that. So we're trying to make that available, and hopefully that helps solve the division.
Well, we have several questions here about church and church attendance, and a running theme, if I can summarize here, is just, which church should I attend?
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't go to a church just because you like the pastor. You shouldn't go to a church because you like the people, even though that is a major criteria for a lot of people. They'll go where they feel comfortable and where their friends are at. And that's really not the function of church. I mean, there's lots of things to do with your friends, and probably a lot more things that are more enjoyable in a friend environment than going to a church and listening to a sermon. I mean, really. And so church has a function, and people have forgotten what that is. The Bible describes the church as being members of the body of Christ. So number one criteria is that everyone in the church needs to be saved. At least they need to be Christians, or else why are they there? They also need to be studying God's word. 1 Timothy 3:15 says that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so if we're the ground of the truth, we need to have the word of truth. And so in church, you ought to be studying God's word in order to understand God, understand his will, to understand how to operate in this world and what he's doing in the world. And so that's the function of church, to grow his saints, to grow his believers up into the image of Christ. And so before you ask the question, which church should I attend, you have to know, you know, what the function of a church is. And we've got lessons about that on our website that you can go listen to more. But that's the first thing you need to resolve. But I've gotten this question a lot because people don't know how to discern which church. And they say, well, which one? Just give me some guidelines. Well, I answered one person this question once with three criteria, three different things they ought to look for. And no doubt all three of them were somewhat offensive. But I think these are basic things and pretty good guidelines to show you the character and the doctrine of a church. Number one was that you need to find a place that believes the Bible. And by that, I mean they believe every word in the scripture. They will not change it. They don't correct it. They don't cast doubt upon it, and they use that as the source and foundation of their teaching. If the church you're going to does not hold the Bible as their final authority in matters of truth, then what is their authority? it wouldn't be God because God speaks through his words. It would be something else, like a tradition or like a man or scholarship or something. So the Bible and believing it is necessary in a church. So look for that. This means you can carry your Bible in and compare what the church is teaching to the book you have in your hands. Number two, the second criteria that I mentioned that you should look for in a church is that they understand the unique revelation given to the Apostle Paul. And you say, why is that important? That sounds pretty trivial. Well, that's because the gospel that saves today is found uniquely in the revelation given to Paul, in Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. In fact, the book of Romans specifically details the gospel of the grace of God. If you were to take out Paul's epistles from the Bible, there would be no gospel of the grace of God. You'd be an Israelite or a Gentile looking for an earthly kingdom, trying to follow God's covenants and his laws in order to earn your salvation. And unfortunately, that sounds very familiar. That's how many churches operate. But with Paul's epistles, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, was that salvation now goes freely to all men, and that he's creating this new creature called the church, the body of Christ. And so if a church doesn't understand that, then how can they know how to operate? They don't understand their pattern and where the instructions for the church today are found. You know, C.I. Scofield, in the notes in his famous note Bible, study Bible, in Ephesians 3:6, he said, in Paul's epistles alone are found the doctrine and the walk and the destiny of the church today. Well, if Dr. Scofield was right, as so many other teachers were, then that's where the church should be finding their pattern. So that was the second thing. So the first thing was believing your Bible. Second thing was understanding that our pattern is found in Paul's epistles. The third thing is kind of strange, but I think it helps show the character of a church, is that they don't teach law tithing. Now, no doubt saying that is controversial because tithing is a controversial subject. But if a church teaches you to tithe and puts you under a requirement to tithe under the law, what they've done there is subverted the position that you have by grace in Jesus Christ. And so it's not that we're just picking one law or picking one thing and making it a criteria. It's simply that it shows the character and integrity of the pastor and the elder board, or if whatever leadership there is in the church. Because if they're believing the gospel, the grace of God, which was the second criteria, and they're believing the Bible, which is the first criteria, then they ought to operate that way. And so many churches compromise, even though they know the true gospel of the grace of God, and they know the Bible is their authority, and it should be rightly divided. They compromise when it comes to practical matters. And so they think, well, how can I get people to give money so that the church can continue to operate, which was a good intent. And what they do is they compromise right doctrine in order to serve their end of continuing the ministry. And so when they teach law tithing, what they're doing is putting you under a law in which you can be cursed if you don't do it. Or they'll teach the flip side, that you can be blessed if you do it. So under grace today, we're not under the law, Romans 6:14. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Lord Jesus Christ taught us that we do not give out of necessity. We give as we purpose in our hearts. And so if a church teaches law tithing, that's a pretty good indication that they're willing to compromise in other areas as well. So those are the three things I'd look for in a church if you're looking to attend one. They believe every word of the Bible. They understand the unique gospel and revelation given to the apostle, the Gentiles. And thirdly, they don't teach law tithing. I think that'd be a good starting point.
So you just advise that if someone is looking for a church, that they should try to find one that does not teach tithing. We just happen to have a question here that says, if you don't collect tithes, how do you get money?
Yeah, that's a common question I get, especially at the Howard County Fair. I think it's this week we're going to have a booth at the Howard County Fair. And one of the most popular tracks that we have on our table is 23 reasons. I think it's up to 49 now, but 23 reasons why you should not tithe. And we always get the question, if you don't tithe, how do you get any money? And wow. It just kind of shocks me every time I hear that, because people think churches are all about the money. And that's not what we're about. I don't want your money. We're talking about churches, which churches to attend. I don't want you to attend my church and give me money. Attending my church is free. I don't get paid a salary. Nobody at my church gets paid a salary. We're there sincerely trying to study the scripture. We want to open the Bible and study it. You say, well, how do you get money? Well, how does anyone else get money? People want to give their money. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, Paul tells us to give as we purpose in our hearts. And so we don't manipulate and force people to give. If they want to give, they give. If they feel they've been helped by the doctrine at our ministry, than they give. But I'm telling you now, I say this as the doctrinal answer, but I don't want you who are listening right now to give a penny. I am not trying to get your money. I'm just responding to the question of how we can be on the radio. That's because sincere people wanted to get this message out and they pay the money for it. It's not because of one tithe. Not one tithe penny went to pay for this radio program. So money is not the issue in ministry. It's about the message. It's about the message of God's grace.
It sounds like you've kind of identified a problem that a lot of churches are going to have to deal with. It kind of has to do with our next question, which simply asks, what's wrong with the church?
Yeah. And this question may come from the introduction to our radio program where I say that the church, well, it needs fixed. And the church is definitely broken. Hopefully we can agree on that. If the church is just fine and doesn't need to be fixed, doesn't have any problems, well, we tend to be blind to what's going on. There's a lot of problems in Christian organizations, Christian churches. And the only way to resolve that is with the Bible, going back to the scripture and purifying from the scripture, not only the doctrines that we're teaching, but the practices we're performing. There's been a lot of things creep into Christianity that are simply not what God wants us to do. It's not the direction he wants us to go. And how do I know that? Well, it's not because I'm a prophet or an apostle. It's because the scripture is right here in front of me. I've got a Bible. And so you open up the Bible, you read it, you see the necessity to rightly divide it. And according to what God is doing today in this dispensation, we learn how the church should be and who the church is. And so we compare churches today to that pattern and we see that it's totally off track. So more specifically, what's wrong with the church or churches today? And primarily it's because they've lost their pattern. They're trying to be something they are not. I mentioned in the previous answer that our pattern in the church is the Apostle Paul, is the Lord Jesus Christ returning after he ascended in Acts chapter 9. And he gave to Paul a description of what the Bible calls a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19 calls it that. And Galatians chapter 3, I believe, calls it the new creature. And this new creature is not the nation of Israel. It's not a nation of the Gentiles. It's this new spiritual body of people who are saved by God's grace, who are intended to be his representation, his ambassadors in this lost world, preaching the gospel of reconciliation, the gospel of the grace of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. And so we find our pattern in Paul's epistles. And when churches tend to go back before this pattern was revealed, before this pattern was written in the scripture, they go back to Jesus' earthly ministry, they go back to the Old Testament, and they'll grab a pattern from back there. This is where problems occur in the church. They put people under the law. They'll put people under Israel's new covenant. And it tends to cause not only problems in the tradition, but problems in practical application.
So how do I become a member of your church is the next question.
Yeah. How do you become a member of your church? Maybe you're asking that, maybe you're not. But we don't have membership at my church. And I got to be careful what I'm saying there, because 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, the true doctrine of the church in the scripture is that you're the temple of God. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, that he rose from the dead to give you eternal life freely, and you put your trust solely in that, Ephesians 1:13 says the Holy Spirit of God seals you. And in 1 Corinthians 12 says that same Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ, into his body. So you become part of the body of Christ. And this is something that can happen listening to the radio, right where you're at. This can happen, you know, wherever and whenever. You don't have to go into a building in order to be saved. And so when people typically think of churches, they think of church buildings, they think of church organizations, and really the church is people. The church is you and me who trust Jesus Christ to be our Savior through his finished work on the cross and that alone. And so that's how you become a member of the body of Christ, the church. At Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, they're the people that sponsor and where I teach at over there in Swayze, Indiana. We don't have membership roles, and that's because I think that distracts. Many churches do have membership roles, and some of them have roles for good reasons, but I think it distracts from the real identity of the church. When people think, well, I'm a member now of the first church down the road, they think that they're in somehow spiritually, and they may not even be saved. You know, people get involved in the choir or something, and they say, well, I'm on stage at the church. You know, I'm part of the ministry, so, you know, I must be good to get to heaven. Well, that's not what saves you. You're doing that. So as much as I can, I try to emphasize Jesus Christ and his finished work, and try to teach the people that you are a member of him, of the body of Christ, the church, if you're saved, if you know the true gospel. So I avoid membership. I told you I'd read 1 Corinthians 3:16. The verse says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And Paul's saying this to the Corinthians, the carnal Corinthians, who were misbehaving because of different reasons, and they were sinning openly, but they knew the gospel, the grace of God. Paul preached to them the cross, and he preached to them Christ crucified, and they trusted that. And because of that, Paul says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit?" So God dwells in you. You are the church if you're saved by the gospel.
So someone wants to know, what makes you any different from other religions and other churches?
Good question. As we're talking about discerning different churches and discerning the difference between them, people may ask, well, why am I different? And there's two questions really there that you had. One was, what makes me different from other religions, and what makes me different from other churches? And I guess there is some overlap in it, but every religion on the planet, most of them anyway that I've studied, teach good works. And this is where some people will say, well, all religions are the same. And they say that because all religions have a deity or a god or some supreme power. And they also all teach some sort of good behavior, some sort of moral lifestyle or some rules, some do's or don'ts. And, you know, the rules change based on religion, but it's generally the same idea. You know, there's a deity or a power or some sort of force, and you've got to satisfy it through your effort, through your good work. Well, what makes Christianity unique among all of these religions of the world is simply that that is not the message of Christianity. It's not what you do. It's not what you do at all that pleases God. And so that's interesting. The definition of a religion is what you do to earn merit or favor with God, or what you do to assuage God's wrath. And so if there's anything that you're doing and you think, well, I'm doing this and God's pleased with this and this is why God has accepted me, that's a religion. And that is why you're not a Christian. You say, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to a Christian church. You know, I'm a Catholic or whatever. That means you do not understand the gospel of the grace of God. You may be following the law in the Bible, or maybe following the rules in the scripture, okay? But the gospel of the grace of God, the dispensation of grace, which was first revealed to the Apostle Paul in the scripture, you read about it in Paul's epistles, it was something that was a mystery kept secret. And what God did is he revealed the manifold wisdom of his will, okay, the mystery of his will. And he described in this dispensation of grace that it's not what men do. God doesn't need men. He doesn't want men to offer themselves as acceptable to him. He doesn't want your good works to merit his favor. He doesn't need your good works to assuage his wrath. God is merciful. And through Jesus Christ, his wrath is appeased. And through Jesus Christ, he can grant you righteousness freely because of Jesus Christ. So what makes a Christian and what makes Christianity different from other religions is simply the word grace. Other religions do not teach grace. Grace means what someone else does for you that you don't deserve. It means, in this case, what God does for you, what you don't deserve. And so whereas other religions teach what you should do or shouldn't do to earn God's favor, grace teaches what God did for you to be given riches and for you to be blessed. Well, what God did for you was that God in Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead for your justification, Romans 4:25. And so the gospel of the grace of God is not about what you do, it's about what Christ did, what God did for you. And so if you're trusting what he did and not what you do, this is the gospel of the grace of God, and it's offered to you freely in this dispensation, in these days by the Lord. So that is definitely what makes us unique as Christians. Now, I say that just universally, not just at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, but just universally. This is what makes Christianity unique. So it's really a shame that many people who call themselves Christians don't teach that gospel of grace. They teach a works-based, merit-based relationship with the Lord. And that is contrary, of course, to the grace gospel. But more specifically, I guess your second question was, what makes me different from other churches? What makes Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, perhaps, or this radio program different from other denominations and churches? Well, quite plainly, as I mentioned earlier, I'll just lay it on the line and you'll be confused, but every word has a meaning. We are mid-Acts, Pauline, dispensational, right dividers of a King James Bible. And each one of those words, this is not found anywhere in the scripture. This is just something that delineates, distinguishes what I believe the Bible says from what many other churches do. So hopefully that's helpful because I want you to know the differences and not to think that every Christian is the same, because they're not. Okay. We're mid-Acts, and we're talking there about the book of Acts, because in the book of Acts, that's where the Apostle Paul got saved. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ returned in the book of Acts to reveal to Paul the gospel of the grace of God. So this is why we call ourselves mid-Acts. We're not Pentecostal, which is the beginning of the book of Acts, and we're not red-letter Christians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're mid-Acts. We're Pauline because the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul this gospel of the grace of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, a dispensation of the gospel was committed unto me. And he says that to me first, God made him a pattern for them who should hereafter believe in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. And so God set up Paul as the apostle of the Gentiles. And so in a message going to the world of Gentile people, which are you and I, this we're to follow the Lord's words as given to the apostle of the Gentiles. So we're Pauline. We're dispensational because we understand that we can't follow everything the Bible says and that God speaks to different people at different times in the scripture. And so we don't take the whole Bible as instructions to us. All the Bible's profitable to us, but there are things in the Bible that we simply are not to do, and it would be wrong for us to do because God was speaking to Israel or God was speaking to someone else. And so we rightly divide the scriptures, which is the last term in that phrase. We take the scriptures, we study it, and we have a means to understand why that passage is for us and another passage is not for us. And so we understand the Bible dispensationally. If you want to know more about how to do that, that's a really great question. We do have a free book to give you if you'd like to have it. Just contact us through the website. We'll give you that free book, Start Rightly Dividing. But that's why we teach mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division. And of course, we believe our Bible. Every word in it wouldn't change it. So this makes us unique among other churches in Christianity. So if that's you, maybe you'd like to come out, but I'm not trying to get you to come out and become a member of my church. We're simply here trying to present the truth on the radio so that you can learn what the Bible says rightly divided.
Well, that's all the time we have for questions for today's episode. But if you have comments or questions about anything that you've heard today or about anything regarding the Bible that you would like to have Pastor Justin Johnson answer, you just need to go to our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. You could submit your comments and questions there, and we'll be sure to get them on the air.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com, and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio. We're going to be at the Howard County Fair in Greentown, July 11th through the 16th. If you stop by our booth and tell us you heard us on the radio, we'll give you some free Bible study materials. And don't forget to send us your Bible questions by visiting our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.